A warning. This podcast contains adult language, accounts of sexual abuse, suicidal thoughts, and other deeply sensitive material. Please use discretion. Previously on Terminal, the Dying Church Planter. The sensible thing to do was walk away.
He's like, it's not going to be good. If you want to leave, you're more than welcome to.
But it never occurred to Richard Pope's friends to do the sensible thing.
Mm-mm. We're not going to go there because God's bigger than this.
And so Richard and his friends did what God told them to do.
Yeah. He said, if God called me to plant a church and God knew that I was going to get cancer, then God must want me to plant a church with cancer.
And when they planted that church, it grew faster and bigger than they ever imagined it would.
And the whole time I was puking and having diarrhea all myself. And still God's church is growing. It's insane.
In the earliest days of Canvas Church, that's the adjective everybody used. Insane. And yet back then, no one had any way of knowing. The insanity had just begun.
When you tack on that word terminal, all of a sudden, time starts to seem really, really small. And we start doing things more passionately. But why aren't we already doing that anyway?
I'm Tony Hudson, and this is Terminal, the Dying Church Planter, Episode 6, Completeness. 1, 2, 3. Ahat, Shtaim, Shalosh. Shalosh is the Hebrew word for the number 3. It's an important word, especially in Scripture, because the word shalosh does not just represent the digit that comes between 2 and 4. The word shalosh represents an idea. To the ancient Hebrews, shalosh, or 3, was the number of completeness. And I bring that up now because what you're about to hear is a story about completeness. It's about what happened in Salisbury, Maryland, in the summer of 2021, after Canvas Church was launched. And it's presented here as 3 steps that, when taken together, tell 1 complete church plant story. The first step we'll call, I would walk 100 miles. The mind of a church planter is fertile ground for bold and sometimes crazy ideas. In May of 2021, Richard Pope had perhaps his boldest, craziest idea of all. Richard's bold and somewhat crazy idea was this. He wanted to walk from Virginia to Maryland to Delaware, and then back again to Maryland. He wanted to carry a cross, and he wanted to talk to people along the way.
We just launched the church. I'm like, let's walk 100 miles. It wasn't strategic. I mean, sure, somebody made a map. Somebody got volunteers. But all it was just challenging the church. Hey, we want to do this really simple thing to share the hope of the cross and the gospel. So we start talking about it. I literally spent the summer after the church launched, walking like 70 to 90 miles a week, training for this. I'd meet people from the church. We'd go on these long walks, slowly adding weight, like in backpacks, things like that. So it was 100 miles in 5 days, which is 20 miles a day, which everybody says seems kind of light, like easy. But each day gets successively harder. Also, I have cancer. So it's a little bit harder, that too. And yeah, so me and a slew of other people, we just did the thing, man.
This walk was, I wasn't prepared for it.
Stephen Shirey, Richard's father-in-law, was one of the people who walked.
I gleefully volunteered, knowing full well I was going to pay a price for it, and I did. It hurt. I'm older, way overweight, and was not prepared to walk the miles that I walked. But as I watch this thing progress day to day, I'm looking at Richard. I'm thinking, my God, man, how are you doing this?
Richard Pope is walking 100 miles. That would be an amazing story on its own, but even more amazing is this. Richard has terminal cancer.
But here's what's crazy, is all these media outlets, secular media outlets, covered the story. The pastor with cancer is carrying a cross 100 miles.
He walked in torrential rain and summer heat.
And they gave us a platform on secular news sites, secular radio, secular newspapers. I mean, it went crazy. So all of a sudden, they gave us this platform to preach on the news, which was kind of the goal.
His church is trying to communicate.
In those 5 days, we walked in pouring rain. And one day it was like 110 degrees. Just, every day was a horrible adventure. But it was incredible. And that last day, man, was probably the day we had the most people. There was probably 10, 15, 20 people the entire time. And they're literally carrying me because cancer body, it just, you know, my body's just, I don't recover. So we get to a point, we turn and you're literally right outside downtown. Cops stop all the traffic on both sides. Probably 150, 200 cars get backed up because of how slow I'm walking. And I'm like, the officer's like, take your time, take your time. It was like a major traffic jam, but people got in their cars and started clapping because people had seen the news. So we just gathered a bunch of people. We finished the walk, right? And our community loved it, man. And we had such a huge influx of visitors during, like, after that season. And I just remember being like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. All we did was walk, man.
Step number two is called Come and See. Stephen Shirey and God have not always been on speaking terms. And so when Peyton, his oldest daughter, married a Jesus freak church planner named Richard Pope, Stephen was, at first, parentally underwhelmed.
I was like, Peyton, he's so much younger than you. And who is he? And it really, honestly, wasn't really so much about him. It was about me. I was just really, as far as my Christian faith and my Christian walk, was very angry at God for a long time. And there are times in my life I regret truly.
Regret can make a man do strange things. Stephen decided to figure out once and for all the answer to his "how did Richard do that" question, the one he asked himself after watching his sick son-in-law walk 100 miles. And so he started visiting Richard and Peyton's new church.
Hey, if you have the Word of God with you, if you have a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. I am only preaching for 15 minutes, which means 20, but we'll get through it together. Mark chapter 9.
Going to Canvas and listen to Richard preach. And I'm a little emotional right now, so my oratory skills are not as good as they should be. Excuse me. But when I'm at Canvas and Richard talks about it, cancer is not defining Richard. I mean that. Richard truly has lived more and better in his short time than I have in 56 years. And I truly mean it. I think about it all the time. I've lived 56 years, wasted quite a bit of it on foolhardy pursuits, but I've changed a lot since I've met Richard, and that's a good thing. I'm gonna cry. Excuse me.
Stephen has another daughter, one younger than Peyton. Her name is Brennan. And I will admit to you now that Brennan is one of my favorite interviews ever. First, because when our time was done, she made sure to stroke my fragile ego.
It was a good interview. Great questions. Really thought-provoking.
And second, because in that interview she's referring to, she was brutally, bluntly honest.
Obviously, I hope you're close to your sister.
I am, very much so.
How's she taking it? She looks like she's fine.
Everybody looks like they're fine.
In every way, Brennan is Stephen Shirey's daughter.
I was a very bad child. But then around like 2020, when Richard and Payne were like, hey, like this is serious, we're starting a church, I was like, okay, well, I don't really believe in this whole God stuff, but Richard has cancer and he's still doing all this. Like, I wanted to see how it was going to work out. And I think there was one service, I can't remember what Richard was preaching, but it really clicked with me. Like, it was like, holy cow, this is real. You know, like, this is what I want to believe in. And I looked at James and I was like, did you hear that?
James is James Schultz, Brennan's boyfriend. James is living proof that a 17-year-old boy will do just about anything to win a girl's heart, even if it means going to church.
My name is James Schultz, and I was a terrible person. I used to be terrible, terrible, terrible. The whole, like, introduction to church, I was forced into church when I was little, so I didn't really like it at all. But I'd came here one service because, you know, Brennan is Peyton's sister, and she was like, hey, like, will you come to church with me? Because, like, I still didn't really believe in God. And I came here, and, like, the pastor was chilling in skinny jeans. So I was like, wow, like, I love this. And ever since then, man, the rest is history. Like, I was excited. That's a crazy thing. I had never been excited about church. I'd never been excited about anything with God. So, yeah, I was baptized here. And it's honestly, it's one of my proudest things that I've done. And honestly, man, it's been crazy. Like, I've learned what an evangelist is. I couldn't tell you what that was a year ago. And also, after coming here, I want to end up planting a church. Like, I want to do what Canvas does.
Doing what Canvas does. That's what we'll call step number 3. James Schultz is now not the only, maybe someday in the future, church planter at Canvas Church.
My name is Andrew Cooper. I am 25 years old. And no, I'm 24 years old. Wow. I'm 24 years old. And
it normally happens to people my age when they...
Yeah, well, honestly, after I turned 20, I stopped counting.
3 years ago, Andrew Cooper was a 20-something college student, still trying to figure out what exactly he wanted to be when he grew up. That's how he ended up meeting Richard Pope.
We were friends on Facebook just because I guess we live in the same town. And I contacted him when I was finishing up my graduate degree. And I was like, hey, I need an internship where I can learn about like what ministry looks like. And then next thing you know, we got coffee and yeah, we've just been tight ever since. And so I did this internship for an entire semester, and I fell in love with everything that they were doing, everything that Canvas was about. Being an intern allowed me to see like kind of the nitty gritty, the dirty stuff, the stuff that, you know, you might not see, you might not read on an article or see on a Facebook post, right? But it's kind of the less glamorous side of it. You know, it was freezing cold, snowing some days, raining some days, and we're out there passing out door hangers and different things like that. And honestly, that's the side that I kind of fell in love with. So that's where I kind of like had this interest that then turned into like a calling and a passion. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Just like Sunrise Church helped Richard and Peyton start Canvas Church, Canvas Church is now helping Andrew and his wife start Garden Church.
They are going to be our setting church. And my wife and I are hoping to plant in Cambridge, Maryland, which is about 45 minutes west of here. And we want to plant a church in Cambridge for the most part, because pretty much if you lived in Cambridge, you stay in Cambridge and you kind of raise your whole family down for generations in Cambridge. It's been like that for years. And so because of that has come a lot of brokenness, a lot of generational brokenness. And so we want to kind of speak into that in a lot of ways through the power of the gospel.
What have you learned from Richard?
So much. I think the one thing that I would, if I had to put it in like one, you know, sentence is I think when you remind people who don't necessarily think of themselves as terminal, obviously Richard thinks of himself as terminal. He's heard the words, but we're all terminal. That could show itself in a day or in 10 days or in 10 years or in 80 years, right? That doesn't necessarily matter. There's an urgency for all of us. And so never lose sight of the main thing, and the main thing being this gospel. Never lose sight of it. Don't let cancer, don't let a sickness, never let like any of the quote unquote obstacles allow you to lose your focus, your locked in vision on what Jesus is doing through this gospel. Never let it take your eyes off of it.
In their first 18 months, the church, pastored by the man with terminal stage 4 Burkitt's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, baptized 65 new believers. And so this is how three steps tell one complete church plant story. Richard walked, skeptics believed, and the church grew and multiplied. And that, to Richard, is completeness.
Yeah, I don't think that you can put that in a bottle. You know what I mean? I think that's the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the deal. First John, those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. One of the things I'm most proud of my church is that 70% of our conversions have not happened in the building. I've baptized more people that got led to Jesus by a member of my church than I've led to Jesus through my preaching. I love that. That gets me jazzed up. Because my job is not to build Canvas. I engage believers who go to my church and equip them to do ministry. And I engage lost people and I tell them about the gospel, just like every Christian should do. And I do that with the hopes that we will get to a point where there's enough of us here and we take a glob of them, we train up a leader, and we're going to give him as many people as will go. And then he's going to engage lost people and he's going to tell them about Jesus and teach them how to follow him. And we're going to do that and we're going to be friends. And that's kind of, I don't know, is that too simplistic, Tony?
Yeah, it's simplistic. And it's profound. It's both, really. It's actually kind of shalosh. On the next episode of Terminal, the Dying Church Planter.
Holy crap, Tony. This is a problem.
There is insanity, and then there is Canvas Church on a Sunday morning insanity.
Okay, we did not think there'd be this many people here.
I go to church for a living, but I've never seen anything like this.
Hey, guys. Do me a favor. If there's an open seat near you and you can squish down a little bit, do me that favor real quick. And if you're a regular at Canvas, and I mean like you're here all the time, and you don't mind, like you don't mind, don't leave, but you wouldn't mind, could you stand outside and watch through the windows? No kidding. No cap.
Come with me to Canvas for one of the most unique Sunday mornings you'll ever experience.
It's gonna be crazy today. It's all gonna work out.
That's on the next episode of Terminal, the Dying Church Planter. You can find photos, videos, and other bonus material. And you can learn more about church planting with Send Network at terminalchurchplanter.com.